conventional, of course, but it could be placed between two exclamations. One belongs to Marsilio Ficino, the great Italian humanist of the 15th century, and he exclaims, all is possible. A century later, John Donne is saying, all is in doubt. Nothing is possible anymore. Don Quixote is the figure who is saying, nothing is in doubt and all is possible. Nothing is in doubt and all is possible because he has read it. Because he has read the books. It is this faith in reading that sets Don Quixote on the road. He does not write new books. He decides to live his books. He performs his books. And because he owns his books, he owns his identity, which is that of the knight errant. And this is perhaps the first level of the reading of Don Quixote. But in the second level, Don Quixote ceases to be the master of his readings, the readings that withered his brain, in order to become the master of his own book, the book called Don Quixote de la Mancha. He ceases to be a reader of previous chivalry and becomes the actor of his own epic of chivalry. He doesn't know, of course, that it is reality that is constantly frustrating his epic attempts. For him, things happen the way they happen because that is the way they happen in the books he reads. He doesn't know that reality is there, of course, when Sancho Panza says, look, sir, these are windmills. For Don Quixote, they are not windmills. They are giants because his books say so. Whenever Don Quixote falls and his pratfalls are among the most illustrious in history, comparable to the silent film comedians. He falls like Buster Keaton or Oliver Hardy or Stan Laurel all the time. He finds refuge in his books, and his books tell him that these are armies and not sheep. The reading of Don Quixote is thus the madness of Don Quixote. In Spanish, we have a very close relationship, a euphonic relationship between the two words for reading and madness, lectura and locura. Lectura and locura, they are very, very close to each other. The locura, lectura of Don Quixote is an act of faith. He meets merchants on the road, for example, and says, you must confess to the beauty of the lady Dulcinea. They say, we've never seen that lady. And he says, that is the point. You must confess that she is the most beautiful woman in the world without ever having seen her. This is an act of faith that speaks of a coincidence in the mind of Don Quixote between what is read and what is lived. But there's yet another level of reading in Don Quixote, and it is the level where I think we can find the radical modernity of the work. It happens in the third outing of the Caballero, de la Triste Figura, and in it, Sansón Carrasco, the bachelor, comes and tells Sancho Panza, there is a book about you. Everybody's reading it. It's a book called The Adventures of Don Quixote de la Mancha. This is an extraordinary transformation because here Don Quixote, the reader, and then the actor of his adventures discovers that he is read. That at the same time that he acts his adventures, these adventures are being read. And not only read, they are the object of yet another apocryphal book written by a certain Avellaneda, and which has an effect on the life of Don Quixote. It makes him change his route, go to Barcelona, prove that he is not the Don Quixote that Avellaneda has written about. Don Quixote therefore starts as a caricature of the hero of old and becomes the first modern hero in the sense that his identity, the identity he has given to himself, is shattered by the readers. He is submitted to multiple readings. He is scrutinized from multiple points of view, and he knows it. And he knows it. He is perhaps the first character in literature who knows that he is being read about while he acts his adventures simultaneously, and that this happens through a new event, which is the printing press. There's a moment in Barcelona when Don Quixote decides to go and visit a printing press probably, I think, really the first person in narrative history that does this. Go to a printing press and see the place where his own existence comes into being, where his adventures are transformed into a product which is then sold. Don Quixote then loses his senses twice. First, when he reads. Second, when he is read. First, he has to prove the existence of the heroes of old. Then, as Marc de Robert says, he is up to a much tougher task, which is to prove his own existence. Now, Don Quixote does not transform his readings into reality, but as an object of reality, he vanquishes reality. He contaminates it with his readings, not of the previous epics, but of the new novel, Don Quixote. He transformed the world, which starts to resemble Don Quixote more and more. The dukes, for example, have read the adventures of Don Quixote. That is why they invite Don Quixote to the castle and then play these outrageous pranks on him. But it so happens that the castle of the dukes, where Don Quixote goes, is really a castle. He has no need to imagine the castle anymore. Before, he could find the most marvelous castle in the humblest inn of Castile. Now that the castle is offered to him in all its reality, his imagination promptly withers away. It is nothing more to imagine. This transforms this book, as Dostoevsky has called it, into the saddest book ever written. All the illusions of Don Quixote are lost, except one. He discovers his book. He has no reality in history. When he contemplates a naval battle off the coast of Barcelona, it is very curious. He does not participate in it at all. He is merely a spectator. Whenever true history intervenes, Don Quixote has nothing to do except this. To retire to his book, which is a continuous event, whereas history becomes a series of facts, one after another, one superseded by another, whereas the book of Don Quixote de la Mancha is a continuous event which exists again and again for each new reader. The third, if we have a moment, the third Spanish archetype I want to refer to is Don Juan. We have seen how this closed Spanish society finds the movement, the dynamics of the modern city in La Celestina, and the pluralism of the point of view and the dialogue of genres in Don Quixote. Don Juan is the third great universal Spanish archetype of this time, and it is an archetype that depends on movement and metamorphosis in order to ensure the dissemination of the sexual pleasure, which is the principle of Don Juan. The first appearance of Don Juan in the play by Tirso de Molina, El Burlador de Sevilla, in 1630, has Don Juan in battle against death and God, but governed always by two sayings that have to do with the immediacy of pleasure. One is, esta noche he de gozarla, this night I shall enjoy her. And the other one is, tan largo me lo fiáis, punishment, hell, it's a far way off. The death of Don Juan perhaps happened in the 19th century in a very popular play in the Hispanic world, which is Don Juan Tenorio by Zorrilla, which is played in many of the cities of Latin America on the Day of the Dead on November 1st. And through all the metamorphoses Don Juan suffered, going from Tirso to Molière to Lord Byron to Hoffman to Gautier to Musset to Lenau, the only thing that he lacked was what Zorrilla gives him, and it is an impossible solution. Don Juan is pardoned. Through the love of the nun, Doña Inés, he is sent not to hell this time, but to heaven. He is saved by the pure love of Doña Inés and goes to heaven muttering praises for the family and the Pope and the Church. This is most insatisfactory. Don Juan cannot be forgiven. in a certain sense. He cannot go to heaven and stay in heaven, because Juan is a man who must be moving all the time. When he enumerates his sexual contest, it is as though he had inaugurated the European common market, but a kind of sexual common market. I've had 500 women in Germany, 300 in Turkey, 700 in Spain, etc., etc. The velocity of pleasure becomes the velocity of change, because besides, he is always a man in disguise, moving from one place to another so as not to be caught by justice. The great Don Juan is the Juan of Tirso de Molina. This is the real universal archetype. He is young. He has almost no past. He has only four lovers, not this long list, longest toilet paper that appears in the Mozart opera when Leporello sings The Adventures of Don Juan. He is a man avid for undifferentiated sex that lasts one night or two. He is a masked figure, and he is escaping vengeance through repetition all the time. Don Juan simply is a man who can't get no satisfaction. How is he going to be satisfied in heaven, where Soriga's pen and Inés's love have sent him? Circulation, relation, identification, this life of Don Juan, which is made of movement, change, circulation in a highly rigid, stratified world, and who sent to hell is capable of coming constantly back and back to us, especially through Mozart's representation of him. I am very moved by a fact and interested by a fact. In the final act of Don Giovanni, there is the moment when Leporello is setting the table for the arrival of the stone statue of the Commendatore, and some musicians appear on the scene and play a little aria, which is the aria of Cherubino from Act Two of Nozze di Figaro, no, non andrai farfallone amoroso, notte e giorno d'intorno girando, delle belle torvando il riposo narcisetto, a doncino d'amor. And Don Giovanni says, I think I've heard this music before. I think I've heard this song before. Well, it's in another Mozart opera, but which happens in the 18th century. That is after the events of Don Juan's life, and is sung by Cherubino. Then in December, I saw Jonathan Pryce's rather extraordinary mise-en-scène of Don Giovanni in London at the Colosseum, where he places the action in the 19th century, in the time of Goya, which is after the events of the Mozart opera. And there, of the Nozze di Figaro. And there it becomes very clear that Cherubino, the young Narcisetto, a doncino d'amore of Nozze di Figaro, has grown and become Don Juan, El Burlador of Seville. This is the final act of metamorphosis and openness through the magic of Mozart's music, which gives these figures, La Celestina, Don Quixote, Don Juan, the sense of constantly renewed figures that exist on multiple levels of meaning, not just one, not just the dogmatic level, and which permit tradition and creation to come together. Spain and Spanish America can be understood through the levels of its history, or through the levels of its art, of its literature, of its culture. We have a broken, atomized, balkanized at time, discontinuous history, but we have an extraordinary continuity of culture at the same time. I think it was Mallarmé who said that poetry is the compensation of language. I think that in Spain and Latin America, art and literature are the compensation of history. the compensation of the decadence of Spain, of the historical decadence of Spain, of the Spain of the Habsburgs in the 16th century, operates immediately at the level of Cervantes, of Tirso, of Góngora, of Quevedo, of Velázquez. They say what has not been said. They say what the history cannot say. Sometimes this is the only thing that can be said, what is said through the means of art and literature. And this that is true of the golden age of Spain coexisting with its decadence is eminently true of Spanish America, of Latin America as a whole throughout our history. We had no novels, for example, during the colony, during the three centuries of Spanish colonization, because they were strictly forbidden. It was forbidden to write novels, it was forbidden to publish novels, it was forbidden to import novels. From the 19th century, sometimes we get the impression that the only understandable history we have is the history that we have in our novels. What history has denied then is what art affirms in the Hispanic world. And this is a constant reintroduction of men and women into their history. Since the history, for multiple reasons, and I'm trying to dig at some of them, has been denied us an actual participation in our history, then it is through the bias of art, it is through the bias of literature, that we can reintroduce ourselves into our history and recreate our history. And this is, I think, true to this day, to this very day, and explains a great deal about our reality, the reality we're starting to study here. Thank you very much.